Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Kingdoms Queens podcast. We are so excited to be with you guys. It is officially the off season, and I'm your host, Lexi.
I'm Chrissy.
I'm Jody. Hey, y'all. All right, so, well, season's over. I know we spoke last week about being Super Bowl champions, and we're probably going to do it every single week until we get to draft. But I guess the agenda changes now, right? We don't have games to talk about. We don't have things to talk about in the future, but it's okay because I'm really excited about our outline for today. So, hey, fans, thanks for being here. Please make sure if you're on Twitter, you are retweeting the chats. Be active in our comments. We will talk back. We will post. And, yeah, let's get into it. So last season was amazing, and I can't believe it's already over. I feel like it went really fast. But, you know, one thing that we all wanted to make sure we talked about was like how great like some of these individual players were, some of the great things that they did, some things that really stood out to us. So let's kind of like get into like who were y'all underdog MVP. And I know we all have more than one because there were so many players that did so many amazing things. But, yeah, let's get to the discussion. Feel free to comment also who your underdog MVPs were.
Yeah. So I think we decided to do one for offense, defense, and special teams, one per thing, because we can't just pick one, you guys. No. Like, when have we ever followed that rule? So,
no, it's better than that. Yeah.
So on offense, I went with Pacheco as my underdog MVP. In the Super Bowl, he went 15 for 76 yards, one touchdown. He had a 5.1 yards per carry. And guys, he averaged 4.9 yards per carry for the entire season. It's just amazing. And just watching him on the sidelines, and I know EB was trying to calm him down. He was like, there ain't no relax. I don't relax. And I was just like, that's right. You don't relax. You run hard. And it was just... I don't know. Like, I think that especially him being a seventh round rookie, he really came up. He took a grown man's job and he made himself known in that Super Bowl on the world's biggest stage. So that is why I chose Pacheco for my offensive underdog MVP.
That makes me angry all season long. And yes. I'm so grateful for that.
Yes.
I mean, he's a rookie. I'm like, wait. Wait till next year.
Oh my God. I know. He's just one of my favorite players to watch. I think most of Chiefs Kingdom feels that way for this entire season. So can't wait to see what he brings next year. But
yeah.
My offensive underdog rookie MVP for the season is Jerick McKinnon. I think he was one guy that I was just so excited that we were behind in general. And are we having issues?
Did you see my face?
Yes.
Can you repeat the last part that you said? It kind of did
I apologize.
An echo.
This is glitching, y'all. We don't know what's going
on my phone if this keeps happening. I'm not sure why it's happening right now. So it might get on my phone if this keeps happening, but we'll see. Just give me the signal if it does.
I can hear you.
Okay. So McKinnon was a guy that I was really excited that we re-signed this offseason. I think he fits in our offense perfectly. I mean, if you looked at his stats from like Minnesota and San Francisco, he was not doing anywhere near what he's done on our team. And he just plays like the ultimate team player for real. Like he just, I mean, I think a lot of our favorite plays from the Super Bowl was his, when they went into that church mode, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's what they called it. Bieniemy called that one. And where he just slid right on the 1 yard line. And that was just stuff like that, where he could have the bragging rights for a Super Bowl touchdown, right? But he instead has different bragging rights, which I actually think is almost just as cool, right? Or basically just as cool. So he also was the first running back in the Super Bowl era with receiving touchdowns in 5 straight games, which is just absolutely crazy. Like receiving touchdowns, not just rushing touchdowns, but receiving. So he's just really impressive. The chemistry he has with this team, not to mention his ability to block people and like full body down, like huge guys and just plows them over. Like it's just, he's just also so much fun to watch. And then I love seeing that he's mentored Pacheco so much as well.
They seem to have such a tight bond, which I love seeing. Yeah.
This whole team, like we've, I mean, I know we've said it all season, but they just have such a good bond this year. Yeah, so that's mine.
Love it. My underdog MVP is not a rookie. It is MVS.
Yes.
What a veteran, man. Like, he came to this team and he brought so much knowledge of just all of the, one, he's clearly a veteran. He's done so many great things for all the other teams that he played for. And to be able to bring that knowledge to this team, not only with these rookies, but to build that chemistry, because, and I know we'll get into this a little bit later when we talk about impact players, but we have so many players on this team that made an impact that weren't just rookies that came from other teams too. But kind of want to get into his stats a little bit for the season, and this includes postseason. He had a total of 809 yards. And it feels like it feels like MVS was very just like low, like you really didn't see too much from him this season. Like, but when he was in the game, every single thing he did was impactful. Every single thing he did had purpose. So even though he wasn't out there a ton, I mean, that alone is crazy. His postseason stats, he went 7 for 22 with 2 touchdowns. So it's like, yes, we love you. I know that he'll be back next year. Super excited for that. We have him at least locked in for one more year. And, you know, let's see. He can literally bring the exact same production next year that he brought this year, and I would be satisfied to know.
Right.
All right. Defense.
So I'm going with Leo Chenal. And in the Super Bowl, he had 6 tackles and 1 sack. You know, he got Jalen Hurts out of bounds before the line of scrimmage, so we got a sack for that. And he was the second leading tackler behind Nick Bolton. So if you look at how we were able to keep Jalen Hurts from running all over the field, our linebackers were a huge reason for that. And we expect it from Nick Bolton at this point, but Leo Chenal had kind of a quieter season. So to see him come alive like that in the Super Bowl and make such a huge difference in keeping Jalen Hurts from running all over us and keeping the run game. I mean, Sanders didn't do anything in that game. Like he wasn't running anywhere. So I loved that he came alive and made such a huge impact in that Super Bowl. So I went with Leo Chenal for my underdog MVP.
His little parade thing he did where he like jumped up the 2-story double decker bus.
Yeah.
I'm surprised he didn't get drug tested. Like, what?
I know. Like, was that
ideal? Side of buses, Leo. Sit down. Don't get injured.
Crazy. Mm-hmm. Crazy. So mine is actually Frank the Shark Clark, playoff Frank. I know people had a lot of questions about him going into this season. I have to say, I wasn't really ever one of those people. I always really liked Frank, but I just felt he was a little bit misunderstood, which I think all of Chiefs Kingdom kind of came to realize this season. And I know he's had his health issues. He lost his father and he's just overcome so much this year. And I'm just so proud of the person he's become. I know we've talked about it a few times, but like mentoring George Karloftis after, you know, those training camp practices and just really all throughout the year, he's just become such a fantastic team player, just such a great player overall. He's been worth every penny. 2 Super Bowls he's helped bring us. I love him. And not to mention, he is now 3rd overall in all-time sack leaders in the postseason. So he has 15.5. Willie McGinnis leads with 16, and the next closest is 14.5, which is Bruce Smith. So Frank Clark is right there. So I almost hope I hope he runs it back with us again next season and can hopefully break that. I mean, he has potential to. So.
Yeah, our D-line was talking about how vital he was to the chemistry on the D-line, just his leadership and all of that. And so they I feel like we owe him like, what, $7 million next season? So like, we might as well just give him a couple million more and bring him back. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
I don't know about all that.
We
have a ton of people we have to pay next year. And I think Frank will come back.
$1 million isn't going to make a difference.
What? Yes, it will.
$1 million. Dollar bill, yo.
Well, what you could do is like give them like bonuses or like incentives, you know?
A couple million dollars could be the difference between us keeping Chris Jones or not.
So. Mahomes can restructure. We'll be fine.
Oh, for the 15th time.
The cap right? is a myth, Jody.
Trust in Veach.
I'm like, after this past season, when I realized we got down to like $7, I was like, okay, guys. Like, I don't know what we got to do differently for next season, but let's make sure that we are being very strategic. But I think Frank's going to want to come back on a team-friendly deal anyway.
I think
so. I don't think he wants to leave. I think he wants to be here. I love
– He definitely wants to be here.
And he wants with Andy Reid, too. I think that if they could come to a neutral ground, he'll be yes, I want to stay. My defensive player, M-I-Z.
Z-O-U.
Nick Bolton, Mr. Nick Bolton. I mean, what? This dude this season.
What?
This dude this season was just... Words can't explain how clutch he was when he needed to be. And I just kind of was going back looking throughout like the entire season and like all of the great things that he kind of did randomly. Like, fun facts, led the defense with 14 tackles, one forced fumble, one interception against the Chargers game that was flexed, which if y'all remember that game came down to the last few minutes, and he was very clutch and won that game for us. His postseason stats, dude was – let me start over. For the season, he had 2 sacks, 108 solo tackles. He was second in the league, by the way. He had 2 interceptions – and 1 forced fumble on the whole entire season. And I think the one great thing is we noticed that when Willie Gay was out for those 4 games, how different he played, right? But we noticed when he came back that those two are a dynamic duo together. So I know you kind of mentioned it a little bit earlier, Chrissy, but Nick Bolton and Willie Gay together are a dynamic duo that I'm very excited to see with our linebackers. I can't wait to see what they're going to do next season. He was so clutch in the Super Bowl. Guarantee you if he would have had that second scoop and score, he would have been the MVP of the Super Bowl. But it was just great to see the way that they rattled up that Eagles defense, offense. The Eagles offense really didn't know what they were getting into with our defense. There was so much talk that week about all the things that our team cannot do. And I love that our defense went out there and set the tone, and Nick really put his foot on everybody's neck. So that is my defensive MVP.
Love it.
Underdog.
All right. Well, special teams. I went with Marcus Kemp. He hasn't really, I don't think he's really played much this season because we were calling up Lamons instead of Marcus Kemp, I feel like. But we called him up for the AFC Championship game and he was huge there. And he was also huge in the Kadarius Toney record-setting punt return that really got us down the field towards the end of the game. He had like 5 or 6 huge blocks in that one return by himself. It was just amazing. And I feel like a lot of times guys like that who are practice squad players called up and they come in and they're probably they're almost always these unsung heroes where you're watching Kadarius Toney and your eyes are just on Kadarius Toney, but you're not seeing all these guys making these huge blocks out there. And when you've got one guy making like 5 or 6 of them and he just won't go down. I mean, without Marcus Kemp, that 65 or whatever yard punt return does not happen.
Right.
So I'm giving it to Marcus Kemp for special teams.
Love that.
So mine, piggybacking off of that, is Kadarius Toney with the 65-yard punt return record setting in the Super Bowl. So good for them. Good for those guys. They worked together on that. That was just so much fun to watch. I mean, it's just – Kadarius Toney reminds me of our old human joystick, you know? He's just, like, so shifty, so, like, you don't know what he's going to do. And he just figured out his way and so fast and so – I don't know. He's just so much fun to watch. I can't wait to continue with him on our offense in general because they're going to have so much fun with him.
That's going to be a blast.
So he for sure. And I think once he gets more used to our special teams as well, like he's going to be very, very clutch in those situations. So I'm just excited to have him as a punt returner. And can't wait for his future. And yes, Tommy Townsend, clutch with those punts. So good.
He has been on fire all season. Tommy Townsend has with those punts. Unbelievable.
And for sure.
Oh my God, my laptop is glitching.
Special teams really made a big leap in the playoffs.
Yeah, especially because special teams was such a huge problem the first half, maybe 75% of the season.
Yeah.
And then it seems like a switch was flipped and suddenly our special teams started becoming a strength again, like we were used to them being. So I know that we were really tough on special teams this season and we were really like tough on Dave Taub, but whatever they did at the end of the season, thank you, because it worked. So
my special teams player is Harrison Bucker, and I know that it's crazy to say, right? Harrison Bucker had a tough season. Like, we can't lie, we can't cap. He had a tough season. He missed a few games at the beginning of the year. He came back. He wasn't 100% healthy. He literally only went 75% for field goals this year. And that's not, like, fantastic, but it's not the worst either, considering the fact that he wasn't 100% the whole entire season. Mm-hmm. However, he was clutch when we needed him to be, especially in the AFC Championship game and in the Super
Bowl. Yes.
And no matter what he went through the whole entire season, he found a way to keep ice in his veins and win us those two games, because honestly, they both came down to him. I just remember watching, what is it called? The show?
The franchise?
Yeah. You know, I just became a bandwagon franchise watcher like 3 episodes. Which took me so long to figure out that it was a great thing.
So great.
But it was so nice seeing, like, when he did miss that field goal, the way that, like, everybody was like, yo, you're good. Like, keep your head up. That's not a big deal. And it was great to see Pat went to him first.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's enough for me, right? I think bless you. Oh, you didn't see. I think for me, I just need to see once Harrison is fully recovered and he's 100% healthy, I do think he will have a better season for us next year. He went through some adversity this year. And somebody said it earlier, Tommy Townsend is the dog. And I think that those two work extremely well together. Even though I know they tried to create some in-house drama between
Dustin.
I think those two are really good friends, I guess. But yeah, no, I think if we get 100% Harrison Bucker, I want him 100% back on this team next season. I know there's a lot of people who don't agree with that take, but we also went through a really rough patch at the beginning of the season when we didn't have a kicker and our kickers all stuck. So if we're gonna do that, I would like.
And one thing about Harrison Bucker is I think he was trying to get back so much. And when you have a high ankle sprain, not that you could tell with Pat, because he's a
warrior.
But when you are planting on that ankle for kicking and you are trying to figure out every single way you can plant or kick that won't hurt as much. And when you're a kicker in the NFL, I mean, you see how specific they are. They take their 3 steps and then they move over and they're very, you know, it's identical every time. Well, Harrison Bucker was trying to change things up, trying to make it better, not hurt as much so he could get back out there. And I think, like you said, Jody, once he's able to get healthy and he can get back to his fundamentals, he'll be back to Harrison Bucker of old where, you know, we were never like, oh, is he going to make it? Is he going to make it? Is he going to make it? Because he was trying everything he could to get back out there for his brothers. But when you're a kicker and you can't mess with those specific dynamics, and he was trying to do that because he was in pain. So knowing all of that, it makes more sense why there was so much disconnect there. But I think, like you said, he comes back next season healthy and he's totally fine.
It's That's just so strange though, because he was so good at long kicks, right? So his longest kick of the season was 62 yards, which is actually number one in the NFL. But that was his longest kick of the season. Even though he was only 75%, he still had 92 points. That man added 92 points to this season.
Yeah.
Do you know how many games we won by 3 points in general? And he added 92 points. So if that's where Harrison is going to be at 75% for field goals, I would take an 82%. Yeah. I would take a 92%. I feel like that's the percentage I'm supposed to say. But honestly, I would take an 80% Harrison Bucker if that's the production we're going to get out of him. So I guess I'm the transition, right? So many amazing things happened before this season started, right? Holy rookies, holy draft, that's like right up the street, around the corner. And then there were so many players that made huge impacts. So let's kind of get into this rookie class from 2022. What were your favorite impact plays of the season? I literally have like 10 listed. And
I know.
Same. I know, me too.
I'll cross off the ones that y'all don't name, but what are some of your favorite things of this season that happened?
Well, do you want to do favorite moments or off-season moves first?
We can do off-season moves.
Okay. End with our favorite moments. I think that sounds like a good way to go. Honestly,
they're going to cross anyway. Like, what's the point?
Mine don't really cross.
Proud of you.
So weird. I don't know. Maybe I did it wrong. So I will say one of the biggest off-season moves that really benefited us that I don't think anyone was expecting as much benefit was the Tyreek Hill trade. trading him when we did freed up a ton of cap space and provided extra draft picks, which we turned around and made into rookies that were making plays the entire season for us, two starting players. It was a tough decision, but it was incredibly smart. Teams were defending the Chiefs with a too high safety almost all last season. It took us a while to figure it out on offense. We kind of were stuck for a little bit. But this season, Mahomes is spreading the ball out to 7 to 9 receivers a game. And, you know, we lost a huge talent in Tyreek Hill. Like, we can't say we didn't. But we still kept the number one offense in the NFL. And hopefully next season, we don't have to hear Tyreek Hill's name brought up every single broadcast. Because he's proven that we don't need Tyreek Hill. So hopefully people can be quiet about that. But I think that was obviously one of the biggest moves that happened this offseason that benefited the Chiefs in a way that I'm not sure people fully realized it was how big of a benefit we were going to get from that trade.
I don't think any of us did, honestly. Yeah.
And I don't know what we would have done with our defense had we not done that, because we were in a tough spot with our defense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It all worked out as it should.
I feel like it was a blessing in disguise that none of us had any idea, like, why.
Absolutely.
Because I was freaking out. That just goes back to this coaching staff, Brett Veach, like the owners. Like, they clearly know what they're doing, and we really need to take a moment and just let them do their job. Because obviously, I mean, think of how many players we wouldn't have been able to pay either if we would have kept Tyreek Hill. Like, man. Right. And if you look, he's still supporting the Chiefs.
So one of my underrated offseason moves that I don't think a lot of us saw coming was Carlos Dunlap.
Yes, I had that one too.
Yeah, he is a big one for me. He was such an impact player. So many batted down balls.
This guy's huge.
Just huge, just massive. He was good at stopping the run. He got to the quarterback a lot. Just a really good addition to our D-line that we needed, I think.
Plus his leadership.
Exactly. His experience. And I'm just so happy he got a Super Bowl. He's played in the league for so long. Yeah. So he was a big one for me. Just a great mentor. Like you said, great leadership. Not a selfish player whatsoever. And one of my favorite off-season moves.
I think my off-season move was actually not a move. I'm sorry. It was Eric Bieniemy not getting a job last season. No. So him last year going through all of those interviews and everybody just knowing that he was going to get that New Orleans job and go back home and be back there. And then to not get any of the jobs that he deserved, right? Like, I don't appreciate all of the hell that Eric Bieniemy had to go through last season. Just to continue to prove that he could be this guy. I'm really sad. I'm really happy and sad. It's bittersweet, right? I'm sad that he's not here, but he deserved a head coaching job more than a season ago.
100%.
Opportunity.
Yeah.
He still technically doesn't have it. He's still signed as an OC, AC, assistant coach. And I mean, we can get into that later, but that was probably one of the biggest things that shocked me last offseason was him not actually getting the job. But I'm not upset about it. He's now a two-time Super Bowl champion because he did end up staying with us for another season. So if EB does not go into a head coaching job in the next calendar year, I think there's truly something wrong with the NFL. And I will have those conversations later privately on my Twitter. So that's my
privately on Twitter.
Non-offseason news. So.
Do you have another one, Christine?
Yeah, I mean, I wrote a bunch down. But yeah. I'm going to put all of these kind of in a group. So if I take one, I'm sorry. But I think like the acquisitions of MVS, Juju, Justin Watson, and re-signing McKinnon, if you look at our offense and how it was a complete, I don't want to say rebuild, but really like we were replacing all these pieces of our offense. We had what,
reloading.
McCole?
Reloading.
Reloading, that's a good one. I like it.
Rebuild, you can say rebuild.
Yeah, if Patrick can say it.
I just like the reloading word too.
Yeah, reloading is a good one. I like that for this season, actually, this coming season. Yeah, like reloading. For sure. I like that. I like that, Lexi. Yeah. Hey. But knowing like how many times Justin Watson came in clutch when he was this basically practice squad guy from the Bucks. And then you see Juju, who was kind of, you know, he needed a rejuvenation, no pun intended with his name. MVS, the same thing. I think he had a great quarterback at one time, and Aaron Rodgers is just kind of a little weird now. So, and then you look at McKinnon, who I loved McKinnon. I was with Jody, like, I wanted McKinnon back, and I was just waiting. I was like, why haven't we re-signed McKinnon yet? Like, he hasn't signed with anyone. Like, is he going to go anywhere? And I want him back again this year. So I think bringing all of those guys in and helping – refresh our offense. Gosh, it was so fun to watch our offense this year. Like all the new players, all the players getting the ball. And man, I love McKinnon. I just love the guy.
I love that kid. So,
all those guys. They're the offense retooling. It was awesome.
Same, same. So another one for me is actually a guy, probably not a lot of people, unless you're like a real diehard Chiefs fan, you might not know of him as much, but Deion Bush.
Yeah.
Who he actually came in on the day that we traded Tyreek. So on Twitter, he was like all excited. Yeah.
He was like, read the room, Dion.
He was like, I'll give Chiefs a few days before I say hi. He was like, is it safe to say hi?
Is it safe now? Sorry, guys.
Can I come out now? Yeah. Poor guy. But actually, he was just a huge addition to our special teams. Some of those hits he made, like he was phenomenal. Yeah. Really underrated performer, I think, that doesn't get talked about enough. And one of my favorite guys on special teams to watch. And I think he could be a good backup DB if someone, you know, knock on wood, gets injured or whatnot. Yeah. So he was one of my favorite additions and made a difference on our special teams for sure. I noticed him a lot out there in a lot of those big plays.
Yeah.
So that was a good one for me.
That's a great one.
I think my last one, because Chrissy did kind of take a few, but that's okay.
Yeah.
I was trying to be efficient.
Mine is a move removal, right? So Tyrann Mathieu leaving, Justin Reed coming in. So I know Tyrann had a tough season with us last year. Not sure what was fully going on there because the Honey Badger has been amazing for us just in years prior. So seeing him leave, I know a lot of Chiefs fans were like, bye, like, whatever. But I feel like they were putting a lot of that from Dick Sorensen on him. And it's like they don't – it's not fair that you're packaging them like a duo. Anyway, but Justin Reed coming in, I'll be honest, I was super nervous at first. I was like, I don't know what this guy did at Texans.
Houston, yeah.
Or like 1 in 100. Like, I don't know what he – there and why he left and he's coming here, but Justin definitely grew on me throughout the season. Now it was late in the season, it was like week 12. Okay, it was late in the season, but he definitely grew on me, and especially in the playoffs. Like, I don't know what, like, you spoke about Chrissy, a switch being flipped for special teams. That defensive switch hit right after the bye week. But then they even turned it up even more as we got into the playoffs. So,
yeah,
I was really mean on Justin. I mean, Justin is his name. I was really mean to Justin Reed. Well, because Justin Houston.
Yeah.
I was really mean to Justin Reed.
Throwback.
He definitely redeemed himself, especially missing the bus on the parade because he was drunk. I was like, okay, I like
this. I didn't hear that.
Yeah. He missed the bus. Running. He was running down the street to get on the bus. It was also his birthday. Give him a break.
Oh my gosh, I didn't know he missed the bus. That's so funny.
I'll send you the video. But no, I am sold on Justin Reed now. So, you know, let's see. I think he did definitely step up as a huge leader too.
I think after that Bengals game, that first one.
Because, and we kind of spoke about this earlier in our podcast, like, who's the leader? Like, who is the leader on this team besides Patrick, right?
Right.
And I feel like after we kind of had that conversation, you've seen guys slowly start to step up, like Chris Jones and Justin Reed and Frank Clark. And, you know, you slowly started to see that. So I'm sold on Justin Reed, I guess.
Yeah, I've got one more.
Yeah, go ahead.
And that was restructuring Frank Clark. I know we kind of touched on it earlier. Yeah. But I think restructuring him, George Karlaftis would not have been the player he was without the leadership of Frank Clark staying late with him and all of that. So absolutely. I'll keep it short and sweet, but because everybody knows how much we as a trio love Frank Clark. So I love that. I love that we restructured him and that he took that restructure and came back and did what he did with it. So
yeah, I agree. So I guess impact players, which we kind of touched a little, but then some of our best moments. Oh, no, impact players. Let's just stay there. I'm looking at my notes, and I don't know how to read them now. Players of this season. I'm like, impact players of this season. So I definitely agree with you wholeheartedly about Frank Clark. I'm going to just touch on that, too. Yeah. I feel like for a lot of our players who this is their second ring, so Travis, Frank, Chris, Pat, it hit different for them than the first one. And I don't know why. Like the first one was like, we got to get it. It's been 50 years. We got to do it, right? And now it's like, okay.
I think it was satisfying to silence, like.
But legacy building too, like, okay, we are who we say we are. Like, we set this goal and this expectation at the beginning of the year, and we achieved it. And to achieve a small goal, as y'all know, is like something monumental. So to be able to go onto the biggest stage, I was watching a video of Frank Clark earlier, just really soaking in that moment, and you hear Andy Reid yelling in the background. And I'm just like, man, this ring clearly hit different for everybody. So I can't wait to see where our next ring next year, when they go for ring number three, how that impacts. Like, because they had a lot of fun this season too. So,
yeah.
It's that validation of like everything you've worked for and feeling like you were kind of doubted at the beginning of the season, whether people want to admit that or not, you know, they were. Right. And I feel like that has to be so validating for all of them. So I'm just happy, especially like for all of them, but especially those core guys, because what a journey it's been this season. Yeah.
Well, it's like, you know, our defense gets doubted every single season, right?
They will be next year too.
Yeah. But how many seasons have people doubted our offense?
Yeah.
So this is the first season that our entire team was doubted. And so no wonder it felt so sweet and so satisfying, because everybody knew what it felt like to be doubted. And
the coaches, like literally coaches, everybody
felt doubted this season. And it's going to be a lesson to teams. As Mitch Holtis said, like, you're going to have to put up with us. So
we're here to stay.
Bring on the hate. Yeah.
And then I want to just touch on real quick, just on Brett Veach, just nailing pretty much every single draft pick.
Yeah.
Every single one had an impact on this season, which is like, that's pretty unheard of.
But I think you got to also talk about the coaching too. Like, not only did Brett Veach go out and get these amazing guys, but these dudes got coached up too. This is their first time playing in any NFL game.
Yeah, so, and the rookies banded together because they were baptized by fire, as we've said here. Yeah. You know, they had to be ready right off the bat, and so they banded together. They created their study group. So like, you also got to hand it to the rookies who
I know they like
who really were like, we have to learn this defense, we have to learn this offense, we have to make a difference for our brothers. And like, I think everybody this year just felt like they had really something to prove. And God, it was awesome. I loved it.
So seriously, I was watching an interview today with Trent McDuffie. And he was saying, he's like, just from the get-go, he's like, we knew championships were expected from us.
Right.
And he's like, and it's crazy to think our cornerbacks, aside from Snead, were him, Joshua Williams, and Jalen Watson in a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Against like one of the best offenses all season long. I mean, and they nailed it. They were so
half good. Our defense is rookies.
I mean, crazy. And he's like, we just knew we had to step up. He's like, it says a lot to what we've been through together this season, like what the coaches have done. I mean, it's really impressive by all of them. I'm so proud of them.
I want to talk about Juju Smith-Schuster for a second. Not a rookie.
Everything.
Not a rookie. Juju catches everything. Not a rookie. A veteran. Came to this team, immediately showed out. So, Juju Smith-Schuster. Juju. John. Forgot.
John
catches anything. Anyway, for the season, he had.
John catches everything.
He had. What am I trying to say? Sorry.
Yes.
You got pictures of him there, don't you? Are you looking at pictures?
Postseason, this kid had over 1,000 yards in the season. He actually went for 1,022 yards. He had 3 total touchdowns, which doesn't seem right, but it's right. Like, but I think we also know, like, when Juju was here, when you see him on the field, him and Travis Kelce were making blocks. They were creating holes. They were doing more things that were so impactful to make other players like Isaiah Pacheco, McKinnon, all these people be available to move around, to get the ball, to score, to go get the yards. So, I mean, I think it's really important when we talk about how great Juju was this season, because even though he was not – I mean, he hit 1,000 yards, which is – crazy.
And he missed 3 games, basically.
Yeah. Exactly, right? So to be able to still do all of those things and to still make that impact and to be able to, because he's built like a tight end.
Right.
So I don't care what anybody says. I feel like he goes to receiver meetings and tight end meetings because he's like a receiver. So Juju, I am like very glad that he's on this team. I'm very happy that he finally got a ring. He was not TikTok Juju this season, but I was really glad that I did not see a TikTok at
Super Bowl. You hear that, Brown? TikTok boy? Wasn't that this season?
He wasn't that this season, but at this point, he has a ring. So if he wants to be TikTok boy next season, he can absolutely be TikTok boy next season.
Yeah.
No one can say anything to him because they probably don't have a ring. So very proud of Juju. Would love
drop that mic. You drop that mic, Jody. You drop it.
But I, you know, I think like the biggest thing right now is everybody's stressed out about him getting priced out because now, I mean, he can go out and get that back.
He's the top free agent wide receiver in the market.
Right? Like, why would you not want a dude built like a tight end who knows how to block and be like, what?
So I mean, he wants to stay here on a team friendly.
I think he does, right?
Like, he does too.
My thing is I think everybody wants to stay for one more year.
And right.
Kind of like our running back year in 21, right? Like, everybody stayed for one more year. We went after it. We couldn't get it.
Yeah.
If you're a wide receiver, why would you ever want to leave Patrick Mahomes?
I don't think they do.
Like,
Tyreek Hill, and then you go to like a Zach Wilson or like a, no offense, Danny Dimes, you know, like but you're not getting Patrick Mahomes, man.
Yeah.
You're not going to go win a ring with those guys.
No.
Stay with the guy that's going to get you a ring and cement your legacy.
Especially if you're going to stay in the AFC. Do not go to the AFC.
We're not going anywhere in the AFC, man.
Don't waste your time.
The way that these receivers were talking about him, especially after the Super Bowl, like, you can it's just written all over their faces how much they respect Patrick Mahomes, how much they love playing with him. Like, Juju, I think it was his post-game interview, and he's just like, there's nothing like him. Like, there's nothing like him. Like, how would you ever want to play with another quarterback when you have him?
Exactly.
I have place never did.
Y'all go next. I have somebody.
The only other person I want to talk about, which we've kind of touched on him a little bit, but is Kadarius Toney.
Yeah.
Bringing him in from the Giants in like what, week 9, 10, whatever it was. He wasn't supposed to be a player that made an impact this season. And he made a huge crater-sized impact on this team this season, whether it be in his punt returns, whether it be on his receiving touchdowns and just his jukes and everything. So no matter what happens from here on out, the Chiefs won that trade with the Giants just based on what Kadarius Toney did this season. So like he had a touchdown in the Super Bowl. He has a record-setting punt return in the Super Bowl. Like, I love him. If he can stay healthy and with a full offseason with our Chiefs staff, I fully believe that he can. Whoo, he's going to be so fun to watch.
I know. I'm so excited about him, like how we're going to use him. It's going to be so much fun.
Exactly.
For me, I only have one more, and hopefully I'm not taking yours, Jody. I don't know.
It was KT. But... I was just going to tap in.
Oh, okay.
I love it because I love KT. So I'm just going to finish off what you were saying. He only has 16 wrecks for the entire season.
Yeah.
171 yards, 2 touchdowns, and dude was averaging – I got to stop calling people dude. Dude was averaging 10.7 yards a carry every carry. Like, what – in the world. So yes, love KT for his 2 touchdowns that he brought to us. Dude is a freak. Can't wait till they get down here to Texas so they can start training with Pat. Cause
Jody can creep on him.
I'm like, he's already starting. I don't appreciate Patrick coming to Texas and not calling me like, hey, I made it.
Patrick, what do we do to make you mad, man? Jody's your girl.
You just gotta go to APEC, right?
Yeah, I'm going to look up the address tomorrow.
Yeah, you might as well.
You're an inside reporter.
Yeah. My last one, guys. Real
I'm not
quick.
Is... Here, guys. Here's video. So I'm going to be at APEC tomorrow.
Okay. My last one, real quick. Sorry. Wait, are you guys done or no?
We'll never be done. Let's do it.
I like, keep trying, and then I'm like, that. No. Okay.
We're listening.
Let me know when you're done. Are you done? Okay, just real quick. Mine is Brandon Williams.
Yes! That's a great one.
Late addition. Pretty late addition, but he was just a great late addition for us. I was so glad.
Yeah.
So good at stopping the run game. Such a good little interior piece for us. So I think that was just the final cherry on top of our defense.
One of my favorite parts of him was during the mic'd up where Patrick did something crazy and he was just like, like, and he was just in complete awe. And yeah. I love when I see people do that, especially when it's our own team. And I'm like,
like, oh my God, y'all actually really love each other. Just,
yeah, that's great.
My last one, I lied. Chris Jones, 15 and a half sacks, 2 forced fumbles postseason, 2 sacks that he had never had before, 2 of them now, and 6 solo tackles. So, Chris Jones, if the Brinks truck hasn't made it yet, call me. I'll call Beach. I'll figure it out.
Yeah, the Brinks trucks are really bad at showing up on time, speaking from experience at my job. So,
so favorite moments. I feel like we can go on for hours about favorite moments of this season.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, so I'll list one. Gosh, there's so many. Which one do I want to say?
You can list more than one.
Okay, you know what? Okay, I'm gonna list 2 because this one I doubt it's gonna be one that anyone wrote down. So this might sound crazy, but one of my favorite moments of the season was Mahomes throwing a fit because he didn't want to get X-rays at halftime. I know that sounds crazy, but it just showed you how much of a competitive warrior that guy is, wanting to be out there for his team and such, and just seeing what he did after that, like that moment, I was just like, man, this guy is, you're going to have to chain him to a bench and he'd still drag the bench onto the field to make sure he could be on it. So
he was up and down the sideline. Yeah. Like, you are not taking me out of this game.
Yeah. So that was one of mine. And then, my another one is the Mahomes McKinnon no look sideline pass.
Oh yeah.
When I don't know if it, we were playing, was it Denver? When he was running towards the sideline and it was just like whoop, and McKinnon runs it for like however many yards, 65 yards, whatever. That's the crazy thing was. I mean, God, that was cool.
It's the unscripted stuff that makes them so much fun. Like,
so those are two of mine. I have 75,000 more, but
so I'll give another two and then we can just rotate.
Okay, I'm crossing mine off right now.
One of mine is a random one that I'm going to throw out here, and it's how Frank Clark just completely owns the 49ers every time he plays them. Yes. But not just that, he had a safety versus the Niners this season.
Yes.
That was one of my favorite plays this season. That was so fun to watch. For some reason, he plays them so well. So I love that. Love Frank Clark. That was such a fun play. And then another one I loved, probably that we can all agree on, that was so much fun to watch, was our snow globe play versus the Raiders. It was after a tough week, you know, with everything with the Bills and DeMar. And so it was just kind of getting back to that really fun football that we all love watching. And stupid referee had to take it away. But you know what? But we still made the touchdown after anyway. But I just loved the creativity of that. That was so much fun to watch.
Yeah, for sure. I agree. Great ones.
I feel like I watched it like 1,000 times because people were people were so mad and I was so happy. It was like, I was like, I don't care how mad you are. Anyway, for me, I'm going to start off with Travis Kelce's 4 touchdowns.
I have that one down too. Yay.
I do too.
But not only to bet 4 touchdowns for Travis Kelce in the game. Literally nobody. Like, and it's so funny because I just remember all season long, like while we were like creating our tickets and our bets, we're like, okay, this is gonna be the game. Sky Moore gets a touchdown. Or this is gonna be the game. MVS gets a touchdown. And then Travis Kelce literally has all 4 touchdowns. And it was just hilarious because even after the game, like he's doing all these like Al Bundy posts. If you watched show you our page.
And he only had like 27 yards that game.
I'm just like, oh my God. And I love that he like got into it, like wore the Al Bundy shirt to the next game.
Oh yeah.
I loved it. So shout out to Travis Kelce, best tight end in the league. We'll be back for another 3 to 4 years. Book it. And then the next one would be McColl's hat trick. Him having 3 touchdowns against the Niners.
I love that one too.
Even though he's had a lot of ups and downs this season, a lot of ups and downs. I mean, the boy went to surgery today.
Yeah, he had surgery today.
I hope he's okay.
Surgery is going well for him. But, I mean, for me, Cole, and I feel like maybe we're hypocrites. I don't know. I remember in the middle of the season, we all like, oh, my God, we need Nicole back so bad. Like,
I know.
These games without Nicole Harmon. What are we doing? Like, everybody kind of went into panic mode. It was like, he'll be back next year for sure. Like, there's no way they're going to let him go. And then we still figured out a way to be incredible without him, even though when he was here, he was impactful. So, we'll see.
We lost our 2 top red zone threats and still somehow figured it out.
So, I mean – we'll see what next year looks like. Is he going to be here? Is he going to be gone? He is a 2-time Super Bowl champion now, and he is getting that surgery. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know about Nicole. I need some more time to think about it.
Yeah. We'll see. My next one is going to be the Sky Moore punt return in the AFC Championship game.
Yes, I have that one too.
When everybody went down and – he had not wanted to do that. He took himself out of that part of the game, and he was literally the only one left. And he went and just – you could see the relief on his face after he ran that ball back. And, man, that was when I feel like we all saw a turning point for Sky Moore, where I feel like that rookie thing that he'd been holding on to, like, I'm a rookie, I'm missing all these punt returns, I'm muffing these. I feel like that is the moment where he no longer felt like a rookie.
Yeah.
He ran that back. Huh?
Did you see the video he posted?
Yeah.
On his YouTube?
Mm-hmm.
And his mom that morning being like, something special is going to happen today.
We all felt like something for Sky was going to happen that game. And, like, I didn't know what it was. I didn't necessarily think it would be a punt return.
Didn't think we were going to lose our whole offense, but here we are.
Yeah, but man, so that there's another one for me. And then I'm going to say the Jalen Watson interception pick six against the Chargers and to end the game.
99 yards.
Whoo, man, that was sweet. That was just great. So, yep, those are two more of mine.
Okay, another two I have are, let's see, the one of my all-time favorite Mahomes plays from this season was versus the Bucks, where he's dinking and dunking defenders, and then it very, you know, at the five-yard line just dunks the ball to Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the end zone. That was just a thing of beauty. Like, those are just what makes you love watching Patrick Mahomes so much. You're like, of course he made that work. Of course he juked. And Patrick Mahomes says he doesn't juke anyone. I'm like, yeah, you do.
Like, yeah, you do. So it's hard. All with his body. Like, it's not like he's necessarily moving that much. Yeah. It's like the way he, like I was telling my girls at soccer practice today, I'm like, your feet are not doing anything special. It's how your body sells it. And that's what he does. He sells it with his eyes and with his, like, the upper body and how he moves that guy. It's just fun.
Yeah.
Fun.
And then another one for me is Kadarius Toney's first touchdown, where he like literally hops into the end zone.
I have that one too.
I have that on camera. From what? I have that on camera.
I have it on camera too from the Jets.
Yeah, you guys were there.
Yeah.
That was fun.
I was just so happy for him. His first NFL touchdown. Just, and it was just such a fun play too. The way he was just like wide open and
yeah,
that was a good one.
To keep talking about KT, his huge catch against the Jags game where he literally adjusted his body and adjusted his gloves, still pushed off the defender and still got the first down. I was like, who is this dude? Like,
that was his first game as a Chief.
Yeah.
And I know I was in the stands and Jody was in the stands and we were just like, oh, okay.
That was going the other way on the field. Then he came back and got his touchdown that Lexi talked about. So that's why I'm like, this dude. But no, that adjusting of the glove, I mean, that literally stuck with
us. Who's got time to do that?
Literally nobody. Dude was like.
What I mean, he's just so like.
Let me tighten up my look here. Hold on.
Okay. All right. My next one would be, another Niners game. That Niners game was crazy.
It was, baby.
Juju and MVS both had 100 yards that game.
Yeah.
I remember. Chris Jones had 2 sacks that game. Thornhill and Josh Williams both had a pick. So that was a huge game. I think like going into that game, everybody was like, it's the Niners. They have the number one defense. And you guys are going to be blah, 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 blah. Well, we put 44 up.
So. How many times have we said that our Chiefs offense kicks some major butt against number one defenses, y'all?
And then we punted them to like the fourth or fifth after their
exactly. And then we embarrassed them.
Stop doubting our team.
And then everybody else finds a reason why we didn't actually do what we did.
Always.
It was the refs, or it was this.
Haters gonna hate.
Or it was the turf, or it was this. Okay, bring on the excuses, babe.
Bring them on, baby. All right, I have two more, and then my list is empty. obviously if we're continuing KT, his record setting punt return in the Super Bowl thing was a thing of beauty. Loved it. And then, okay, hold on. I needed to quiet them for a second. And then, I'm going to say, I actually had another one, but Jeffrey in our comments said it. So I'm going to say this one instead. The Justin Reed field goal extra point from our season opener went down. Like, we'd been watching him in training camp, you know, kicking around, and we're like, oh, it'd be so funny. And then, like, game one happens, Butker goes down, and we're like, oh, we were just kidding, but okay. And then he just, like, nailed it. And it was, I don't know, it was so, that was just a funny, like, did that really happen? How cool. Hopefully Butker's okay, but this is pretty cool moment, you know.
For weeks, we were like, just put Justin Reed in.
I literally, we're like, put him in.
I told you, I literally had a dream that that happened, you like, did. 2 days before.
You did.
And I had proof of that tweet. And then it happened. I was like, wow. Anyway, okay, so I have two more for you as well. One of my favorites was actually in the AFC Championship games, kind of like towards the end of the game where Brian Cook actually tipped the ball from Joe Burrow, and then Joshua Williams came up with the interception.
Yes.
That was like one of my favorite things from that game. It was just like, just right place, right time. They did so well. All of our, and Jalen Watson had to pick that game too. So that was phenomenal. And then another one for me is another Mahomes one where he just dunks the ball over the Bengals. I know we lost that game, but that was just such a rock star
play. That was his Jordan era.
That was his Jordan play. Yeah, I mean, so good.
We got Jordan Pat. We got in the air. We got Air Mahomes. We got
Air Mahomes. Yeah.
We got ankle. Like, we have all these different games. That we
ridiculous. One leg Pat. Yeah.
I think, did you give two? Yes.
The pet
My next one is not necessarily, I guess it's a moment. It was really the defense as a whole unit turning it up after the bye week. Like, after the bye week, it's like they took those 12 days off and they were like, all right, it's really time to kick it into high gear now. And I think that speaks a lot to Spags. Someone said it in the comments earlier. Spags always is going to start slow. Like, if we can win games by giving, that's what we're going to do. Like, they're not going to really tap into that playbook. They're not really going to do all of these things until the end of the season. And for consistently, year after year after year, we've seen that. We've been frustrated with this defense. But it's like, we know what we're going to get from this defense every single year. I'm too proud to not yell at the defense, at least until after the bye week. Like, I'm not going to be upset with our defense till at least like week 10 or 11. Like, at this point, I have to wait it out because it's what we do. It's who we are as an organization.
Yeah.
Finally learn to accept.
So prepare for that again next season, right?
Yeah, like it took me a really long time, but now, like, I got it.
Today. I've come to terms, yeah.
Yeah, I've come to terms. And then my next one would be winning the Bengals AFC game.
Yeah. Like,
that moment was so major. Like, we had one led Patrick Mahomes. We had back spasms, Trav. We had no Snead, no Willie, no Miko, no KT.
Yeah.
And I know, like, we all talk about, like, how we had no one. But that was really crazy because watching that game and how everybody went down in the fashion that they did, it's like, okay, football guys, we know that you normally have our back, but it's feeling like you don't today. Like,
yeah.
We're about to lace up.
Yeah.
What are we doing? So, yeah.
Just the amount of pride that win brought, too.
Like, I mean, the Super Bowl was major, but that game was, like, literally, like, top two. Like, so many emotions came out of that game. Going into that week in general was heck. Right, like,
no, my gosh,
nasty.
We couldn't talk.
We couldn't even enjoy the Jags win. Bengals fans were already like chirping at us before the clock hit 0-0 of that.
Yeah, game. They were.
That game was just like, yeah.
And the mayor embarrassing them.
Everybody, it was nasty. Don't ever disrespect Arrowhead again.
Ever.
Disrespect Arrowhead again.
Ever.
Yeah, that was my last one.
Can I give two more?
Sorry, I thought I was unmuted for a second. Sorry. Yes, give two more.
Okay. So real quick, two more. The Chad Henne 98-yard drive.
Crazy.
In the Jags game. That just deserves a mention because that was phenomenal. And Pacheco with his 40-yard run on that.
Yeah,
and then Chad Henne's retiring. So thank you, Chad, for everything you've done. Always clutch in the playoffs. Always clutch when we need you.
Anything is possible.
I'm really sad about that. Like, genuinely sad that he's retiring. I'm like, dude, are you sure?
And it was right after the Super Bowl win. I'm like, do you have to just, like, crush us right now?
Can you give us, like, a week or two, please?
He has his beer like, thank you so much, Chiefs team. This was so great.
Like,
fine. It's getting JJ Watt. I don't like that.
Yeah.
I don't like you retiring like that on us. But no, I mean, Chad, you're right. He's been incredible for us. game in and game out, want to play.
Anytime we need him. Anytime we need him.
Okay. Like, man, I love Chad Henne. He will be forever in my heart. And I, you never know.
Bing, bing, bing.
You never know.
So
I know. Okay,
hold on. Do you
and wait, I have one more. I have one more.
Oh,
shoot, that was only one.
Lexi's got one more. Then
my final one is the corn dog 2 times in a row with some ketchup and mustard on it in the Super Bowl.
Yes.
2 times in a row, it worked. Sky Moore has first.
I want to tell a joke.
No.
Even though the second time they lined up completely wrong. But it's
whatever.
Whatever works.
So that was my other one. But yeah, it's just so many fun moments from the season. Such a fantastic season overall. Could not have ended any better, and we're just looking forward to the off season now.
Draft time, baby. Free agency starts in, I don't know what today is, March 13th.
Yeah,
less than a month. I cannot wait to see what free agency looks like, because we're the team that everybody wants to play for. So I can't wait to see what teams are willing to give up.
March 15th.
15th. Okay, good. I said 13. I can't wait to see what free agency looks like all around the NFL. It's going to be so much chaos and drama. Like, I am here for it, because I know it's only going to be great for us.
Yeah.
Well, hey, guys, real quick. Emma wants to tell us what her favorite part of the Chiefs season was. Okay.
All right. What was it?
What was your favorite part of the Chiefs season?
Winning the Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
Good one.
Super Bowl.
Yeah.
What was it like when we won the Super Bowl for you?
Exciting.
Exciting. Was mommy really loud?
Yeah.
So were we.
Emma very told loud. Me I was too loud, actually.
That happens.
But we're super loud.
Just wait till next year.
Yeah. Well, do you guys have any more?
I have more.
Do you have more things about the Chiefs?
Yes.
Okay, real quick.
Well, the Chiefs got the thing that Lexi said. So
you're saying Lexi is correct in what she said?
Yes. Absolutely.
Good. Was Jody also correct?
Yes.
Okay. And what does this say right here? Who are we?
Cheese Queens.
Yeah. Same.
Same thing.
Well,
I got excited by this thing.
Yes, you did get excited by our logo. So
I got excited by the cheese.
Yes, you very much did. Well, we appreciate.
Am I a cheese queen?
Yep, you're a Chiefs queen too. I'm going to steal my mic back. We appreciate you all joining us each and every week. Shh, be quiet or I can't do my closing. You got to be professional. If you're going to be on the podcast, you got to be professional.
I got more things about the Chiefs.
Okay, you can tell us later on Twitter, okay? So we appreciate you all joining us each and every week. Please follow us at Kingdoms Queens on Twitter, so you can find out all the places you can watch our show each and every week. We go live at 7 p.m. Central Time. Tuesdays. So the off season, as we said last week, has officially started. Free agency has opened up this week. Ouch. And so we will be with you every step of the way, keeping you guys up to date and following all the crazy moves that are sure to happen this season. So I do want to wish good luck to Sporting KC. Their season opener is this Saturday at 9:30 p.m.
Interesting.
So if you guys are looking for something to help dry your tears that it's football off season. Bye, Emma. Sporting KC is a really good way to do that. If you guys ever go to Children's Mercy Park, the stadium, the atmosphere is insane. Reminds me a lot of Arrowhead. But their season starts on Saturday. So go Sporting KC. Let's bring another trophy to put in the Kansas City trophy case, right? So until next time, can you say it? Say the Queens have spoken.
The Queen has spoken.
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
I'm